Hello, Fightful Faithful. Welcome to another episode of Sour Graps. I'm your host, Alex Bleski, and everything sucks with me, as always, is Kate. Kate, we're doing this particular review an hour earlier.
I know, it's so neat.
Isn't that great?
I mean, it's a huge rib on me, because, of course, this is when postseason baseball is, so like...
Yeah.
It's, well, the other thing I care about is still going on.
Right.
But the Yankees made that uneventful early, so.
So that's good. That's important.
It's,
yeah.
It'd be good if it was uneventful in the other direction.
No, I know. I understand. No. Listen. If the Brewers can come that close to winning the series against the Mets, and then their all-star reliever gives up a three-run home run to a dude who just decided he wanted to stop playing baseball during the series in the ninth inning, then every fan of every team should also feel bad. So, yeah.
Just taking everything sucks a little far.
I don't want anyone to feel good
if I
feel bad.
I respect it. I respect the haterade, but I gotta say, before we went on air, I said to you, Alex, like, this is weird because it felt so uneventful, but they had a Donnybrook match and two title matches.
Yeah.
Which, like, had you undeniably good or bad, inevitable outcome or not.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you put stuff with stakes on your show. Like, I can't actually hate on that. But yet I can, because I...
Yeah.
There was a lot of this that just felt very there. It is. There are a couple of things in play here, by the way. One, it's their first attempt at a 2-hour Raw, so I figured the pacing would feel weird. But also, there are several double tapings coming up, and this is one of them, which is part of the move to 2 hours. Sean was saying
right.
On the main before we went live that part of why they're doing this is the double tapings, because they're trying to keep their talent fresh, which I respect. So... So this was weird. They did not do the worst case scenario at the end. Thank God.
No, I mean, like, that's so it wasn't the worst case scenario, but it like, as scenarios go, it's not like it's a good one.
I mean, he retained.
Well, I'm talking about all of Raw. So, like, yes.
Oh, sure,
yes,
yeah.
Yes,
I'm talking about the Gunther
good.
Part specifically.
The Gunther specifically, it's about as good as it could go, I guess.
Yeah.
Until, of course, Goldberg costs him the,
the
meaningless bragging rights match with Cody Rhodes at Saudi Arabia. By the
then
way,
I don't even care. Honestly, I'm like, that's fine. Just let him keep his fucking title. Whatever.
No, it's just the idea, like, oh, this will protect Gunther because we're going to have Cody win. But he'll only win because Goldberg, a 90-year-old man, put his shoulder into his midsection.
See, but what I hear is we do a Sands of Blind review and I can fuck with you.
No. I need you right now to commit to the bit. That whatever happens, you're going to tell me that Goldberg came in and cost Gunther the match versus Cody. Because at this point right now, I believe it to be true. So now I have to wonder or not if you're lying. You know what I mean?
And you have plenty of time to wonder.
I have 1 month to do it. It's a 2-hour show. And they decided, hey, is there any way we could put all of the commercials we normally get for 3 hours into 2 hours? And they're like, yes, there's a way to do that. We'll just put picture in picture in all of the matches. Most of the matches will be about 6 minutes long with 3 minutes of commercials during them. So we could do that. And they're like, that's a great idea. Let's do that. That should be our new standard. And that is a thing that they have done.
So, I don't know a lot in this world. I am only 24, after all.
No.
So, I don't have that much life advice. But mm-hmm, I do know that when you do a TV overrun,
mm-hmm,
there's, like, very specific ways that they fuck with the commercials to make that happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I think because there was always an overrun, like that is something that I got like used to or whatever, like for a long time. This felt like, I don't know if it was just because I was hypercognizant of it or whatever, but like two commercial breaks for your main event was bad. Like that was just, there were two full breaks.
When they said this, when Sean reported that it was going to get three segments, but the match didn't get started until there was 18 minutes left in the show. I was like, when they do three segments, that's not usually how much is left, how long the match is.
Yeah.
Three segments denotes a longer match than this normally would be. So, so I am going to say a thing in 3 weeks. The thing that I am going to say in 3 weeks seems unthinkable now, but in 3 weeks I will be at that point. In 3 weeks I will say I missed 3 hour Raws. Because right now I like starting this to only 2 hours after watching Raw. I don't like watching 3 hours of Raw, but I think 3 hour Raws are better than the 2 hour Raws are going to be. Now they might eventually get to be decent 2 hour Raws, but for the first month, they're going to be all bad. All of them will be bad Raws.
I agree with you, particularly because this one is a double tape. I'm actually very intrigued to see what adjustments they make with a taped episode where you can fuck with stuff versus a live episode where you can't.
Yeah, like, I guess that's true.
But we'll see. Like, I don't know if they'll even have the cutting room floor to do it on. You know what I mean? So we'll find out.
This live to tape? Like, did they start?
This was live.
Live? They did not start. What I'm saying is we weren't watching something that was taped an hour prior. You know what I mean? Like,
no, I believe they're taping an hour. They did an hour from 7 to 8 and they're doing an hour from 10 to 11 or whatever.
But they're sandwiching stuff.
Yes.
Which will be really funny for the audience who's not paying attention to be like, they're referencing a thing we already saw as though it's going to happen next week.
Yeah.
Cause that's something that Hammond, The opening of the show is Punk hobbling out onto the stage.
Yes.
And he says that he can't walk all the way down to the ring because he's so beat up. If he's gonna hobble that much, he owes us a cane.
He does.
I mean, full body cast might be nice. I said to you, I'm surprised he didn't cut this promo while in traction because of the whole, like, I'm going to take the next month off and I'm not going to go to Saudi, what it feels like from him, which, you know, good for Punk for not going to Saudi. Nobody should go to Saudi. But also, it just feels like, well, I finally got over this terrible Drew McIntyre thing. I beat him, but he also beat me. I may have won, but I don't feel like I did. I feel more beat up than I've ever been in my life, which is weird because I've had many injuries that have put me out of wrestling for a long time. But I'm so beat up, I can't even walk down to the ring. But I love all of you guys. How about those St. Louis Blues? But anyway, he started doing what seemed like a retirement speech. I want to thank all of the fans who still believed in me. I want to thank all the people I work with, mostly all of them. It's a bit of joy to work with them. I also want to thank my haters. And I was like, retire or shut the fuck up. This was 12 minutes. Punk had been like, I'm injured. I'll see you later. That's all he said during any of this. It was just, I'm injured. I'll be back at some point. That's basically what he said. I'm pretty banged up, but bye-bye. But he also worked in I have to go home. I haven't seen my wife in 5 weeks, so I have to buy her a lot of flowers. And I know what your schedule is, dude. Like, if you haven't seen your wife in 5 weeks, and she doesn't live on the moon, That's a choice by you to not see your wife. We saw a film of you with your dog. When did you retrieve your dog to bring your dog on the road?
Well, she's also a gal about town. She might be up to things, and I'm sure he has side projects going on. But my thing was like, this one was way too long. My hope, and I'm just going to keep hoping it until it comes true. There's two things in wrestling right now that I'm just going to keep hoping until it comes true. One, a Ricky Starks return. Two, CM Punk turning heel. Like, maybe this felt so farewell-y because he's going to come back and really fuck up Seth Rollins as a heel. Would be something that would be neat. So I'm just going to keep manifesting that's what it was, because I can't handle happy-go-lucky Punk anymore. It makes me want to jump off a bridge. So I'm gonna hope that this leads to a heel turn, like I've been hoping since the man came back to wrestling in both companies. But sincerely, what I think is good about it is, one, don't go to countries if your morals preclude you from going there. I think that's very good. And two, him being away, I'm assuming what's next up for him is Seth Rollins. Him being away for a little bit lets Bronson Reed and Seth have a substantive feud, I hope, before they dive into Punk Rollins. So that's what I'm hoping for. And also, like, whatever contract the dude signed is for a lot of appearances, but not a lot of matches. So if he's an attraction wrestler, it's good when attractions go away, because then you get excited when they come back, is the idea. He's been there most weeks, even injured, for basically the entire first year. Yeah. So, like, some breathing room is good, especially with Rollins back, because they need that that star power. Punk's going to be out, realistically.
Yeah. When he's done giving his pseudo-retirement speech, he starts to leave, and Rollins' music hits, and Rollins comes out and kind of walks barely by him. And goes all the way to the ring, and he is wearing some kind of weird version of D'Lo Brown's chest protector.
Yes.
I don't know what that's all about. And also giant sunglasses. He says that I want you to come back as soon as you can so I can retire your ass for real. And the crowd goes nuts. So I'm going to need the Rubes to pick a side. You can't be like, we love CM Punk, but also we are also rooting for Seth Rollins to retire his ass for real. We love both things. You can't. You have to pick one. Have a spine, Rubes.
Well, then call me a Rube, because that's how I was during Kingston and Punk. I want both of those things. I want Punk to turn heel, obviously. But Rube's are going to Rube, and you know that.
Rube's going to Rube. That's for sure.
They're going to X-Cube is what the Rubes are going to do.
Rubes are going to Rube. Lubes are going to Lube. I mean, it's the only thing that I was going to think of that rhymes, honestly. Cubes are going to cube.
Tube?
And tubes are going to tube.
Noobs are going to noob for sure.
I mean, I guess that is true.
Boobs are going to boob.
Well, listen. I went for very tasteful motor oil, and you slutting it up with your whole slang for ladies' memories. That's honestly, I expected better from you.
Well, that's on you at that point. You should not be expecting better of me at this point in life. This is not our first rodeo together, sir.
Seth said that he came because Bronson Reed's not here. He says Bronson
Big
Reed
is
also
absent. Yeah.
According to the spoilers, no, not spoilers, but the Raw Scoops thread for next week
here on PitbullSelect.com for just $5.
There does not appear to be any appearance via Bronson Reed next week either. I've never seen a stomp put a man out for 2 weeks.
They might edit a thing, though.
He might be in a little vignette or something. But he says, you know, that you want to make a name, fine. Like, you want to make a name for yourself? Great. six tsunamis later, I know your name, I guess. And you want me, fine, one-on-one. You name the time and you name the place. And I'm assuming the time and the place is Sands of Time.
Sands of Time and Place?
Mm-hmm. Sands of Place.
I've got a bone to pick, and it's not with anything that you just said.
Okay.
And it's not even with the Yankees, which is the real surprise here.
Right.
Where does the word vignette get off being pronounced the way it is?
Well, it's French.
G-N...
Vignette.
Ugh. Get out of town.
Vignette. I don't know.
Stupid.
It's French.
French.
It's French.
I'm calling them backstages from now, or pre-records. I don't like it. Stupid word.
All right. Fine. Cool. It's right. All right.
Keep me honest, Jet. When I say vignette later in the show, be like, uh-huh. I'm sorry. Or if I call it, I'm going to call it a vignette.
I mean, or you could call it a vignette, which is what Corey Brennan calls it, a vignette.
Does he really? I'd never noticed that.
Every time he says it when we're doing one of the things with us, I go, because I feel like if you're gonna do the thing, the change, the G's got to be a hard G, no? Like vignette. Like,
I don't know, bro. I'm not Irish.
But like Vig? I don't know.
Vignette. I made it Italian.
Hey, it's me, Giovanni Vinci. I got a vignette. And a vignette. He come out, he say, hey, look at me. I got so much money. I got to go skiing in the Alps. I eat a finest steak. I go on with the hottest women. And then a pot of crews will roll me up in 2 seconds. I got a vignette. Good.
Sean and Denise are probably talking about the show. Isn't that so stupid?
Nah, that's dumb.
Here's what it really is. A vignette.
There you go. That's how you should pronounce it from now on. he's in there and he talks about how he's going to come after Bronson Reed. And then Jey Uso has to make his entrance while Seth's still in the ring. And I was like, okay, all right. We're dovetailing stuff here. This is good. This is good. We are trying to pack things in back to back to back. You could tell Punk he could tighten up that promo a hell of a lot, but like 21 minutes of nothing to start the show wasn't great. When Jey comes out, is Seth pissy because Jey interrupted his promo ending? I don't remember them not liking each other before Seth got hurt. They were teammates at War Games. That's the last time I really remember them interacting. Did they hate each other after they were teammates at War Games? Because he was really pissy at Jey. And Jey seemed to look at him like, what the fuck did I do?
What'd he say fuck me for?
Basically. I just didn't know. I don't remember any.
No, because they would have been on the same side of hating the bloodline and everything too.
I guess. I mean, Tim saying it's the first steps of turning.
Barf.
Seth.
Oh, no, he's go the other way.
Seth's definitely going to be heel. Punk will spend fewer days as a heel than Cody Rhodes will over the next couple of years. So,
Barfalup, I guess.
Yeah, Barfalup, I guess. So the first match of the night is Jey versus Xavier Woods. Not much. This is one of those things I was watching going like, oh, okay. So we got, it was very quick into the match when they went to picture in picture. And I was like, great, I got time. And so I went to the kitchen to do some stuff. and then brought my phone with me just in case. And then they came back from the picture-in-picture and, oh, we've been seeing Xavier Woods entirely in control in this match. And I keep glancing at it thinking I've got 10 more minutes of this match. And then Xavier Woods did a jumping nothing off the top rope, took a super kick to the teeth, and then a splash and lost. And I didn't go and look it up, but that felt quick. That felt like maybe a 10, 11 minute match in total for an IC title match.
Yeah.
And I'm never a big fan of I'm in control the entire time, you do two moves to me and win. I'm never a big fan of that, but like this just felt like it was you gave Xavier Woods an IC title match, gave him 10 minutes, and then he gets to be in control the entire time, but like not actually do anything to hurt Jay, so that when Jay hits him with two moves, he loses.
I like that story in certain situations, usually when there's like a huge size advantage, like when there's like if it's big guy, little guy. Yeah. That's where you and I will differ on like a Darby Allin thing. Like if Darby's getting the shit kicked out of him, but he cleverly does something.
But he never does anything clever.
He hasn't in a very long time. Yeah. I can get into that story if it's somebody who has every disadvantage physically so that they have to mentally be clever enough to get a win. Then I like that story. That was not the case here at all.
No.
I kind of get it from the perspective of it gives Xavier Woods something to be frustrated about while Kofi's like, well, you know, sometimes you put up a good fight and you lose. And Xavier's like fucking angry that Kofi's not more pissed about it or whatever. So I get it from the story perspective, but yeah, that's not, I hate that match archetype too. That's not for me.
Yeah.
But they didn't have room to do anything else. Like you said, like this was just this. I think a lot of the way this match was produced was a symptom of this getting condensed so much.
Right. And again, you could have just like Punk literally could have just said, I'm banged up. I'll be back soon.
Sure.
That was all the information, actual information he provided us with. So you could have cut his 12 minute promo down to 6 and then submitted those other 6 things to something. You could have cut a 12-minute promo down to 4 minutes if he was going to be interrupted by Seth Rollins. Like that mean like whatever. You're like, and Seth basically said, yes, I came back to take out Bronson Reed and I intend on doing that in a match that he will sands of time and sands of place. But you could cut all that down. I mean,
sands of time, sands of place, my friend.
You sans the time, you sans the place. There was a video to start, of course. So the actual promo was not 12 minutes, but when he was finally done talking, it was 12 minutes into the show, and I was like,
yeah.
Okay, fine. There was a bunch of stuff that backstage that isn't listed on the little rundown thing, some of which was either legitimate.
Alex shoots on Sean Ross Sapp and his incomplete backstage report.
No, because that happens all the time. But some of it was either work technical difficulties or shoot testicle difficulties.
Testicle difficulties?
Well, testicle difficulties as well. That's the name of what's his name? Oh, Adam Hangman Page's new finisher.
The testicle
difficulties. The testicle difficulties.
I'm in.
That's how he wins his matches now, is via low blow. So that'll be fun to watch from now on. So here we go. Raquel Gonzalez came back to be Dom and Liv's chauffeur. Is that really what we're doing?
This is a tough one because I'm like, I just don't know what her limitations are as far as what she has going on. So, like, I don't want to jump to any conclusions, but the thing was, it was very visual when it seemed like she was not cleared. Like, yeah. we could see it. And right now it doesn't look like that's the case. So, yeah. I definitely don't want her coming back to do just that, but I'm glad to see her on my screen again.
Yeah. It felt she didn't even get to talk.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Just kind of standing there. Like, we didn't even really see her back.
No, we only saw her front.
I don't even know this woman.
I don't even know who you are anymore, Raquel. By the way, I keep saying Raquel Gonzalez because also that's what Triple H calls her. Her name is Raquel Rodriguez, but he keeps on calling her Raquel Gonzalez.
Which was her NXT name.
Which was her NXT name when there was no reason for them. Also, it shouldn't have been Raquel. It was originally Reyna Gonzalez, queen. Reyna means queen. Reyna Gonzalez was great. And they changed to Raquel Gonzalez. And they changed Raquel Gonzalez to Raquel Rodriguez. And eventually she's going to be RR. That's just what it's going to be. Railroad is... they're going to call her Railroad. She drives Dom and Liv in there and they get interviewed and they're like, we don't even want to be here. We're going to leave. And then she gets back in the car and drives away. Like, Jackie Redmond tries to ask her if she's in Judgment Day now, but she won't respond. I'm like, I mean, does it matter? Isn't it effectively the same thing? She's chauffeuring around Dom and Liv. She made sure Liv got to keep her title. Like, even if she's just Liv's friend, isn't she basically in Judgment Day? Doesn't she function the exact same way? The idea that they thought they had, like, set out a roving reporter to get to the bottom of whether or not she's been formally inducted into a fake gang is just so dumb to me. But it is wrestling, so whatever.
I mean... I'm a New Japan fan, so there's, like, a huge thing around that, right? Of, like, earning your way in. Here, there's not, like, a system that gets you there. But the most important thing with Judgment Day is I think it gives you Hanana Hina rights. So it's like, are you in?
Right.
Because mm-hmm. then you get to have the theme. If you're not,
mm-hmm.
you just have a cool... You've got back muscles and a regular theme.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You get Def Rebelled. I'm sorry.
Sorry about that. Lo siento, as she would say back when she was doing that gimmick. I'm happy that she's on screen and she's doing well. I just feel like it would have been so much better if she came out at Liv tonight and said, So I did what you asked. I stopped Rhea from taking your title. Now I'm on my title shot. And Liv was like, oh, sure. Like, totally. I got a little thing. I'm not cleared to wrestle because Rhea was beating the hell out of me. But as soon as I am, you'll get your title shot. And, like, that makes her an agent in her own thing. Like, I agreed to take out Rhea for you. But what I really want is that title. And, like, we're cool as long as you give me the thing that you promised me. Makes her way better than, like, I am now your driver. I am an Uber driver for Liv Morgan. Is not the best. You know? So...
Well, they also never... Just WWE storytelling. They don't... They never start with that, right? There's maybe a couple weeks of that. If they do want to go in that direction. But Liv super needs challengers. So hopefully they do that.
Yes. Oh, I forgot about the end of the... Intercontinental title match, which is that Xavier Woods refuses to shake.
Honor is dead.
Honor is fake because honor is not real. Honor is a figment of your imagination.
It's my little disco ghost.
Oh, okay. That's nice. I like that.
It was just like all nothing is real. Everything is
whatever. Oh, okay. Cool. I didn't realize what the... Are you debuting a new character? Is that like the sidekick of Ghosty Rhodes?
We don't do characters on the show. What are you talking about?
I just didn't know. This is great. Kami, MX Kami, says she's a driver for Uber Black. Not Uber Black. She's a driver for Uber Black. That's really cool.
I feel like MXKami, I see in the chat sometimes, but not a ton. So if you're new to Matching or Freak, or you're just able to chat along because this is on earlier, welcome. We love you here.
So he gets out of the ring, and Kofi's like, hey, man, that's not cool. You should shake his hand. And Jay is celebrating in the ring and then turns around and gets speared by Braun Breaker. Joe Tess insists on calling it a super spear. And is that what they're calling Braun's spear now? Because he's got a super spear, but everybody else has got a spear? Okay, but I thought the super spear was the one where he runs around the ring, and that's a super spear? But he was calling like the regular spears super spears.
First of all, that's way too babyface of a thing, and I like where they're going with Braun Breaker right now. Like, I actually like what happened with him tonight.
Right.
If you're gonna be a super spear, that's such a face thing. And second of all, yeah, that's just I get wanting to, because his spear is the best in the business right now.
Right.
I get wanting to make it like his thing, but that shouldn't be it.
Just Joe Tess just called it that like six times.
Yeah.
And so Kofi's like, we got to go in there and save Jay. And Xavier's like, why? It is none of our concern. And Kofi goes in there, tries to go for a Trouble in Paradise, ends up getting a super spear from Braun, and then rolls to the outside. And Xavier, who's just tending to his friend, Kofi Kingston, ends up getting a super spear, but he doesn't call the super spear a super spear. He calls that a regular spear. So I'm not really sure if Joe Tess got the memo, but he does the run thing around the ring, and he gets speared. And then Braun gets back in the ring and spears Jey Uso. And the biggest thing about this is now that they've got Joe Tess, and they've done more of this. Joe Tess is now he's Kevin Patricking it. He's little Irish guying it with like, why, Braun? Why? Picking up the title belt and holding it over your head would seem to signify why, but I'm just going to say why, Braun? Why?
I thought he did really well with the first half of this. Like, the selling the surprise attack from Braun, I actually thought he did a good job of. And then, yeah, it got a little bit goofy, which is unfortunate. But I feel like he is getting better each week. Hopefully he finds where to assign weight more evenly with things. But I like Wade, this direction for Braun so much more than where I thought it was going.
Wade was giving him an opening because Wade kept saying he seemed much more sporting last week.
Yes.
Wade gave him an opening to be like, well, did something change since last week, or was he pretending last week? I guess we'll have to go to Jackie Redmond, who's got Braun Breaker backstage. And she says, Braun, what happened? What's going on? And Braun leaves. He's like, I'm sorry, you know, Joe, I'll try and find out the answer for you. You know what I mean? Because it certainly seems to me, and I hope we get a Braun Breaker promo at some point, where he says, I was all ready to be the bigger man. But then you had to little bro me last week. And I'm nobody's little bro. I am somebody's son and somebody's nephew, but I am nobody's little bro. So I am going to super spear you into the dirt.
I feel like what happened was they watched Sour Graps and they realized your idea was better.
That could have been it.
Jackie Redmond, however, calling Joe Tessitore T-Man needs to stop immediately because she said, I don't know, T-Man, and that.
No, we're gonna stop that.
It's not a high school.
Mr. T. Tyrannosaurus Tess. Like, let's give him as many dumb
Tyrannosaurus Tess. I love.
Okay, that's good.
That's perfect.
Okay, good. We also got this weird thing of what
happened last night? We all saw it with Kevin Owens and Cody Rhodes
and Joe Tess being like, no, wait, you know, obviously, I believe our fearless leader, Triple H, Paul Levesque, has tweeted something out, excuse me, posted something on X about this very thing. Everyone is aware of the incident that happened last night between Kevin Owens and Cody Rhodes. It'll be dealt with in-house. And I'm like, all right, fine. I guess, like, you that was a plant. It was the same video. The same video. Not multiple angles of videos. The idea that, like, oh, some fans happened to be standing inside a parking garage and looked down and saw it, and then it was obviously staged. You could stage it in a place where people would take photos, video of it, and then just, you know, link to a bunch of different people doing it. But you made sure it was that one and only that one that got posted by any of your thing. It's obviously staged. The idea that you wanted to make it look like it was like a thing that nobody should know about. It's an angle. It's an angle, and it's fine that it's an angle, but it is very odd that, like, Cody shows up and they have to ask him about that. And, like, I'm not even here to talk about that. I'm sure much more will come to light on Friday Night SmackDown, but I'm only here to learn how to win the Crown Jewel title. That's all I'm here to do. Just visiting for the day. And then Sammy is there. It's like, I plan on being the guy who you face at Crown Jewel. But first, I just wanted to, you know, talk with you about, you know, what happened. And it's like, oh, no, the alleged incident that you are referring to, I'm sure will be taken care of in-house. But, like, it's a good way to get in that with Sammy, because of Sammy and Kevin's history together and their history in backing up Cody and all of that. Sammy's history with Roman. Sammy doesn't resent Cody for teaming with Roman, even though Sammy has an even bigger reason to resent that as well. There's all of that. If you want to do it, I'm not saying I want you to, because I just feel like we should get past all of that. But the idea that, like, oh no, I'm not allowed to speak its name tonight, just felt like it was overblown. But yeah.
The more I thought about the KO angle, the more I liked it. Because he should absolutely be pissed that Cody Rhodes sold out to Roman and that they won, like, after years of railing against the Bloodline. So I liked it. I get what you're saying about multiple fan angles, but overall, like, every week I feel like I'm screaming at both companies to switch up the playbooks, and so they did, and I'm happy about that. And, like, for anyone to do this angle, KO's the guy, right? Like, he should be pissed. He should be the guy beating him up. So I'm pretty all right with that.
If it was a shove and a single punch thrown, fine. He attempted vehicular homicide.
Sure, yeah,
that's not a thing you deal with in-house. You know what I mean?
Look, like, there's healthy competition in the wrestling industry. One guy burns a house down.
Right.
So when, you have to counter with attempted homicide.
When a pitcher's no-hitter is lost because the shortstop boots a grounder, and then they go on to lose the game and then the series, and then the pitcher takes a swing at the shortstop in the clubhouse, that's dealt with in-house. He attempted to run him over with a car. There's a difference there. You know what I mean?
Like, but the Wyatt Six have committed several murders. So
the Wyatt Six, it's good to know that we're going to talk about the Wyatt Six, because they have one of those little things, oh, there you are, thing that comes up while Cody is on screen. And I feel like that is for Kevin Owens, because Kevin Owens is the guy who's been so trying to hold back the rage, and oh, there you are. There's the real Kevin Owens that we all know and love. So Kevin Owens gets a match with Cody that is interrupted by the spooky dudes, who then he has a feud with the spooky dudes. Okay. I mean, all right. I'll watch Kevin Owens versus Team Spooky.
Last time Kevin Owens was involved with someone spooky, we got a fantastic promo about a banana that was like 10 minutes long. Uh-huh. So yeah. I'm here for it. If we get more promos where he's wheeling up and he's overshooting the interviewer and talking about how beating someone is as satisfying as a banana that's perfectly ripe. Mm-hmm. And calling them scaredy cats. No, I am intrigued though, because Kevin Owens, I joke about that promo, but I love that promo. And part of why I love it is he's like, yeah, real spooked by the lights going out there. He was like, he's filming all these vignettes from where? Like his garage, his attic, I don't know. But like Kevin Owens is the guy to call that stuff out. So I'm wondering how they navigate that. Because his character and who he is as a wrestler would be like, what are your creepy fucking masks, dude? Mm-hmm. Like, who are you? Like, he's that dude. So I'm intrigued to see what could come out of a feud with them. I feel like they absolutely booted the first one. Like, I feel like nobody came out better from the Chad Gable thing, which sucks.
No, Spooko, they didn't actually set up KO versus Spooky. They just flashed their little "there you are" and their symbol on the screen as part of the technical difficulties while Cody was sitting there and they were talking about Kevin Owens. So I'm assuming they're not coming after Cody Rhodes. And that they are instead coming after Kevin Owens, who I guess may or may not actually have hit him with a car. It was in every description of what happened that I read, but I also did not see footage of it. All the descriptions said he tried to hit him with a car.
Who would have thought that the only thing to get called up properly from NXT would be the parking lot violence?
Yes. True. So, we got a vignette from Rhea Ripley saying that
we got a video,
of Rhea Ripley saying, "Congratulations, you got Raquel to do your dirty work, but now, that was really smart of you. But even smarter would have been not be getting caught." And like, yeah, I mean, like, not getting caught by the ref.
That's how I took it.
It doesn't change anything either way. You still aren't the champion.
Yeah.
But like, I guess what you're saying is, if Raquel had attacked you and they went with the original plan, which was to have Liv dragged over on top of Rhea and then the ref to count the 1, 2, 3, that if that had happened, you would just never get another title shot? Because if that was the stipulation, yeah, that does make Liv really dumb that they screwed over that, you know, like. But it wasn't. Like, we all know Rhea, even if that had happened, she would go to Pierce and threaten to pull out his toenails, and he would have been like, yes, of course, you could have a rematch. But, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I'm just...
threatened to cut out his toenails. Oh, no.
I don't know. I'm just trying to get through all the other things that happened on the show tonight. We got Adam Pearce and Ava hanging out backstage, and in walks Ethan Page, who says, "Good to meet you, Adam Pearce. I just wanted to make sure we could shore things up. I'm looking for CM Punk. Of course, he insinuated himself into my match last week and cost me the title, and I just wanted to see if we could figure out a way to make things right." Ethan Page just skipping all the rest of NXT and showing up on Raw is not a bad idea to me.
I agree. Actually, I would very much.
I mean,
much
they're
like
not
that.
Doing. They're not doing great stuff with him in NXT. Not so I don't have faith that they'll do great stuff with him anywhere in WWE because it's WWE. But we would see, I guess, something. But then, Ava's like, "Well, I'm not even on the clock, so I can't help you," which is I did not realize that. Isn't that a salaried position?
I would have thought it would be a salaried position as well.
Is there a time card that you use to punch the clock each day like Fred Flintstone? Like, what are we? No?
You know how we talk about how Twitter Ava is always better than on-screen Ava?
Mm-hmm.
She tweeted, someone tweeted Ava and Ethan beefing on Mondays before work. And she said, beef has no, what did she say? Beef has no time limit.
Okay. That's good.
So God bless her.
Yeah. Anyway, then he says, why are you here? And it turns out why she is here is because SexYY is also there. She, SexYY had a little thing at the beginning, in the middle of the ring to start the night.
It's and she was funny to me that she's SexYY and not
she's what she's
XXY.
She's not sexy. She's SexYY. And SexYY, as soon as she started to twerk, they cut the feed and went to the video package. And I was like, was that just like a happy accident or was that intentional from the censors? I was just like, whatever. Anyway, she shows up and she's like, hello, Ethan Page. Don't I know you from somewhere? Oh, that's right. You're the guy who trick kicked his ass last week. And then he leaves in a huff. And SexYY will perform a song, I believe, on the episode of NXT tomorrow. And to that I say, SexYY.
Which, if you subscribe, we know you're here, but if you subscribe to the $10 tier, you get exclusive footage of Alex twerking to that song.
You do not. You don't. That'll be at the $1,000 tier. And also, I will get all of that money.
So really, you could just Venmo Alex $1,000.
Mm-hmm. And, yep.
Honestly, worth it.
Worth it. There was a Vignette of Sheamus and Pete Dunne talking about their Donnybrook match and everything and why they don't like each other. And they went out and had a great match until the ending, which sucked.
Oh, it was so good before the dumb ending, too.
It was so good before the dumb, but before the dumb, horrible, no good, very bad ending, which ruined Pete Dunne forever.
I keep waiting for these Donnybrook matches to be a letdown because they seem so... We made your heritage a gimmick thing, but I think Sheamus has been in all of them. Has Sheamus been in all of them? There's only been like three, I think. Him and Drew, him and Pete Dunne. Was there one other one?
No, it was the whatever the fucking name was. The Brawling Brutes, Pete and Ridge versus Gallus.
Okay. So they end up always being great, I feel like. Like they're just beating the fuck out of each other and you could use bats. And then they have some corny stuff that's set up around the side of the ring, but like it's all stuff that can be used as weapons properly. Like barrels and shit can be used mm-hmm. as weapons properly. So I always it was kind of like, remember when they did the Viking boat match and we were like, well, hold on, this kind of rules. Yeah, I kind of always have the same reaction to that. Uh-huh. Some of the spots in the corners where they were just beating the dog shit out of each other. Like, this was a lot of fun. And then the ending happened and it was stupid, which sucks because Pete Dunne shouldn't be losing to anybody who has their hands tied around their back. Especially not, Sheamus is a very complete wrestler in a lot of things. He's not a guy that's gonna like... Oh, with my hands tied behind my back, let me put you in these incredible leg submissions. Like, he's not that guy. So it's not, it just was a bad ending. It was a bad ending to a really, really great match and a decently built feud. It was a little heavy on the Butch nickname for me. But, like, but it was pretty well built in WWE standards, like, outside of that, of, like, the wins and losses making more sense other than the lack of compatibility with NXT and the physicality and the pre-existing relationship. So, and where they are in the card and all that kind of stuff, like it all made sense, but yeah, I did not like the ending, but I had a blast up until then watching this. Cause I've realized like between yesterday and today, like I just want to see people beat the fuck out of each other. Really? Like I want well-built stories and then that to happen. Like how Hell in a Cell was. I don't need red light, green light, or special guest referees. Beat the fuck out of each other. But then they ruined it with the ending.
You went and pulled a drawer out of the bar, and then smash the drawer over the, over Sheamus's back, caused a big welt. In the drawer were a set of zip ties, and he zip tied Sheamus's hands behind his back, and then he was, I guess, gonna hit him with the cricket bat for a while. Like he did this thing where he ran it at a pump kick to kneeling Sheamus, but Sheamus kicked out. And at that point, like, if you let a guy kick out who's got his hands tied behind his back, you let him kick out.
Yeah.
Put some fucking weight over both shoulders. He can't kick out. He doesn't have he can't raise an arm.
And put some weight over both shoulders. Fuck, yeah.
You know, it's it's like Pete Dunne's a smarter wrestler than that. Pete Dunne, if he ever had a guy with his hands tied behind his back, would win the match.
Yeah.
He's too smart of a wrestler not to. So then a brogue knee and a brogue kick, and Pete Dunne lost to a guy with his hands literally tied behind his back. I could beat you with my hands tied behind my back. That's always been hyperbole to signify how little of a threat your opponent is.
Yeah.
And that literally happened to Pete Dunne, one of my favorite wrestlers of the last 20 years. And now he's been ruined by that. But like, I don't know how anyone is supposed to take him seriously after this. Like, no, I've literally never seen anybody lose a match to an opponent who has his hands tied behind his back.
Well, one hand, did that with the
one hand, fine. Not both hands.
Was the Ronda Naomi thing both hands?
One hand.
Was one hand. I do wonder if maybe Tyler Bate is ready to come back sooner than later.
No.
He's still out for longer?
No. He tore the pec off the bone. He's not going to be back for months.
It was off the bone? I don't think I knew that.
Yeah.
That makes me sad. Oh, him and Dragunov are out? Everything sucks. Like this show
sucks. No, everything sucks. Everything sucks. Match was great till the ending. And like somebody in the chat was like, they're keeping Sheamus hot so he can get that Grand Slam title. I'm like, okay. I mean, if that's what they're doing.
He could have still just beat Pete Dunne not with his hands on his back though.
Yes. But I don't think that's what's going on. I don't think Jay is in danger of losing that title to anybody at Braun Breaker right now. So
even if he is, like, the problem is it's going to be Jay losing it, not Sheamus winning it. So I don't even want that story for him, because whoever Jay loses to is going to be because New Bloodline cost him and will beckon him over to the Bloodline story for Survivor Series and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Yeah. So
can I also just say, with this 2-hour structure, the show was not good for my ADD at all. Like, there was too much going on, because they didn't so much make a 2-hour show as they tried to imbalance a 3-hour show into a 2-hour show. Like, there were so many segments and so many things going on, I was like,
yeah,
overloaded, more in the beginning than toward the end, but
So they were like, let's have one women's match, but we'll put 10 of them in it.
Yeah, that was a big solution.
It'll be 5 minutes long, and most of the match will be contested while commercials are going on.
Nailed it.
And as a bonus, we'll pick the wrong team to win. It is unconscionable to me that you created the team of Sonya Deville, Zoe Stark, and Shayna Baszler and made them into fucking chumps. Chumps!
I also... A couple of things. Natalia's delightful. I'm glad she's back. Whatever. Zelina Vega... Is her whole personality Puerto Rico?
Yes.
Like, can they do something with this woman? No. She was one of the most compelling managers on TV. Like, when she had that pairing with Andrade, the things that were getting me through the pandemic on WWE television were Sonya and Mandy Rose.
Yeah.
Bayley and then Sasha, obviously. And then Andrade and Zelina, like, she was blowing me away with the stuff that she was doing. She's good, and she's decent enough in the ring that she can go. Like, her whole personality is Puerto Rico. Like, let her be something more than that.
Unfortunately, don't think so.
I regret to inform you.
Yeah. Did Lyra clear it with Melo that she could take his finisher?
Yeah, what was
it's
that?
It's a jumping leg drop to a standing opponent. That's the nothing but net. That's his finisher. Does he not do that anymore?
Because he's a heel now? What if that was an alliance? Can you think of two weirder people to be in a duo? Lyra McCarrick,
Bird. God. Bird lady, meet me at the barbershop. So we can hash out our big tag team plans for mixed match challenge.
He's so cool. Like, him being like, Melo don't miss, and her being like, and also neither do I.
She's been doing that since NXT UK. Well, not in NXT USA. She doesn't do that move in NXT USA.
I don't remember her doing it, and definitely not as a finisher.
She was doing her really bad spinning heel kick, and then she graduated to a simple diving splash because call. But I don't remember her doing the jumping leg drop.
It's cool. Like, I think it's cool that she does it, but
fine. But like, man, what the fuck are we like? The tiers that the women are on just never make any sense to me. Of like, who should be pushed and who is pushed.
She was they had her white hot going into Queen of the Ring, and then boy did they.
I'm not even talking so much about her. It's the fact that they can't seem to figure out the
what literally to do anyone with, else for live to face
what like, they could do what they can do with PFC I all three of those women are really great in different ways in the ring, and the three of them together as a you know triumvirate could be really excellent. I don't know why they're not free birding women's tag titles. Bianca and Jade are like they're too big for that set of titles. You know what I mean? Bring out the mid card titles. Like, if they're not going to be the champs, make them the mid card champ. They can still be friends, I guess, but we're all just waiting around for the inevitable Bianca and Jade feud
turn. Yeah.
So the tag titles just being props for them to carry around and host things while carrying, I'd rather actually see, you know, some real like
defenses.
I honestly feel like any duo of the PFC girls versus Kayden and Katana would put on some banger women's tag matches. I think those two, any of those three, the two of them, put them together, either Shayna and Zoe or Shayna and Sonya or whatever, versus Io and Kairi would be great. But this is the problem I have with the Bianca and Jade pairing. They only know how to book one style of tag match, which is one of the two baby faces is in peril. And for that shit, you can't have Bianca as one of them, because we've seen her by herself take three women on her shoulders and put them all down on top of each other. So two women shouldn't do anything to her.
I also feel like they just aren't good at... They're not good at booking the women's tag title. So if you think they're going to be good at booking title adjacent multi-women matches, you're out of your mind, right? Like, they're not even good with that. So It just felt like a collection of ladies facing each other for reasons. Like, there was no, there's no meat on the bone with the actual stories here, which is a bummer. And then it was 5 minutes of commercial break anyway, so it didn't really matter.
We also got the word from Sean that Shakara Jackson and Lash Legend will be at ringside for the tag title match between Bianca and Jade and Damage Katarl next week, because something's going to happen at the NXT stuff tomorrow that will set up a Jakara and Lash Legend match versus Bianca and Jade. So if you were hoping against hope that on a taped episode of Raw, Io and Kairi win the titles from Bianca and Jade, I'm sorry to inform you that that is not a thing that will be happening.
No, and there's, I'm glad that those titles should float across all three brands. When you unify titles
yes,
across brands,
they should.
It shouldn't be,
they're
only on one brand.
They
so that
should.
Part's good.
How
they're getting there is stupid.
I would also like to see you decide to have women. I mean, maybe they'll eventually become friends. I don't know. They'll get over their hatred for each other. They'll fight. They'll realize they're better together than they are as enemies. And Jada Parker and Lola Vice can beat, win like six matches in a row and then call out the tag champs. As opposed to Jakara Jackson, Lash Legend, who I think I've seen win one match as a tag team. You know, like, or Fallon and JC, actually give them match wins and give them a title match because they deserve something after being in NXT for so goddamn long.
Yeah.
You know? Where the fuck is Kiana James?
And, well, she's injured, right? But I think,
where was she before she got injured?
Yeah, I'm even like, how did she get, was she playing pickup basketball? Like, I don't understand.
Yeah.
That's like, I felt so split on seeing all this NXT talent, because I was like, they called a lot of really great names to the shows. They have not transitioned the last gen. They have not transitioned Indy Hartwell properly to the main roster.
Is Blair Davenport in witness protection?
I gotta say, with her, like, I don't know, because, I mean, just everything they did with her was ice cold, so pulling her off and repackaging her might not be a bad idea, but, like, none of the matches with Naomi were very clicked in. Like, they weren't very good. And their idea of putting people with spooky Scottish witches simply because they're also European did not work.
Also, just like PFC and the spooky Scottish witches, they're all heels. They're a tag team.
Yeah.
At least the weird motley crew of all these babyface ladies have all teamed together at different times. There's a through line of like,
correct.
The TikTokers and Lyra were together before the TikTokers got hurt. And then Lyra found Zelina and Natty. And so they're all friends through Lyra. Like, did they establish at any point why Zoe and Shayna would even agree to work with, like, Alba and Isla? Who they established? And I'll never, ever, ever let this go. They are 1,000,000% better than when they beat them in a minute and a half before they lost in the triple threat in Scotland, because Scotland. How can Shayna and Zoe even look them in the face?
I can't remember. Did they do a thing? Did they do the enemy of my enemy is my friend thing with Jade and Bianca with them?
No,
I actually can't remember.
No.
But I don't think they did. See, Delgado, I'm glad your son is safely in Japan. Someone asked me this the other day, so I have to ask you. Someone asked me about the story of somebody in the SGS said that their son yelled at Zack Sabre Jr. to do an ankle lock in the middle of the match. He looked at them and was like, okay, and then just did it. Was that you? Because I owe that person a response. Because that's the greatest thing ever. That was him! Oh, that's awesome. Thank you for letting me know. I thought it was you.
Gunther versus Sami Zayn was very good, and Gunther won, and that's all that matters.
Thank
there was no God. There was no Goldberg.
No Berg. No Goldberg around.
Nope. There was no Goldberg. It was very good. Sammy just would not die until eventually he got choked out. It's very good. I mean, I really wish they had actually told the correct story, which is Gunther saying, "I happily accept your challenge because I will prove to the world that you beating me the first time was a fluke," as opposed to "my daddy made me sad when I lost you the first time. Now I need to prove to my daddy that I'm actually a real man."
Well, be careful, because if you start talking about wrestlers and their dads, you might summon a certain
one. Might not. I don't know. I'm not sure.
This should be his time of year, considering it's spooky season and he's a ghost.
I mean, he doesn't seem like a spooky ghost to me, though. Does he seem like a spooky ghost to you?
No, but not all ghosts are spooky. This one's a disco one.
But you were like, but this is spooky season. So, like, you know what I mean? He feels like a ghost that, like, could appear any time of year. It doesn't have to be, you know.
I mean, we know that he does.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's not like, oh, it's the time of ghosts and goblins, and here he comes.
Ghosts of dusties are all year round.
Right. No.
There are things in this match that if anybody other than Sami Zayn did them, I would have a nitpick with. Namely, kicking out of the powerbomb at one that late in the match, and I didn't give a fuck because Sami Zayn's just so good at his job. Like, I was so... This is exactly what happened to me at Mania, too, but with a different result. I was so conflicted watching this because I was like, the fan in me right now is rooting for Sami Zayn. He is an unbelievable babyface. He evokes emotion in you. This was the only thing the crowd gave a shit about all night.
All night, honestly.
The crowd did not care. And then
could not have cared less.
They really didn't. I don't know if it's because they're in for a 4-hour taping or what. But the last, since this was a 3-segment, 2-full commercial breakaway match, that last segment of this, I was like, I felt like a kid watching it. The crowd was going nuts. That ending spot where Sammy's reaching for the rope. So I was like, you can do it, Sammy. Like, I was so... My fan hat
Meanwhile, I was like, you better not fucking do it, Sammy.
No, but that was like angels and devils. Like, the... there was this thing in the back of my head that was like, but you better not fucking do it. But I'm watching it like... Oh, God, it was just so what happens when one of the best faces in the world faces one of the best heels in the world and they put on a great match. Like, there were so many spots in it where my heart was just, like, exploding for Sammy. And it's so funny it took him being a fake Uso for them to realize that their favorite archetype in the world, the underdog babyface, is so perfectly encapsulated in this guy, and they just ignored it for like a hot decade, and then they turned it on with him. But Gunther gets his win back. That's the important thing. He maintains the title. That's the important thing. Goldberg wasn't there. That's the important thing. But like, it was so fun to get emotionally grabbed there for a bit for me. That doesn't always happen on TV wrestling, especially. But oftentimes when it does, it's Sami Zayn who's doing it. He's real good.
And then of course as Gunther walks up and is on the stage holding the title aloft,
adrenaline,
that thing, and they were like, ah, yes, I shall stand here with my title, and you shall stand there with yours, and we, in 1 month's time,
will
face each other with absolutely nothing on the line but pride and the ugliest belt that's ever been created by mankind.
My God. I mentioned ZSJ before. I think of that TV title belt, and I'm like, that's hideous. And then they were like, hold my several beers. This is so much uglier.
Ooh.
So bad. Yeah, I also, with this closing match, should mention, I liked how it was structured, minus the commercial breaks. Like, a lot of this match should have been Gunther beating the shit out of Sammy, and a lot of it was, to their credit. Like, the whole beginning of this was dominated by him, and then Sammy got perseverant and clever, and then that ending third was just fantastic. So, whoever produced it, I'll be looking at that producer's look that list that Sean always puts up on Select, because I thought it was very, very, very well done. But of course, Cody came out for them to hold up their titles that neither of them will be defending at
Crown Jewel. But you could have put this on Battered or Blooded. You know what I mean? Like,
it felt pay-per-view quality, honestly, too.
This feels like maybe they were trying to prove a point. Like, there's no reason this is a world title. It should be on a fucking pay-per-view.
Sure. Especially when the other one was not even being defended.
I mean, other than like full on fed pilled weirdos, I have not heard anybody being like, 5 is the exact number of matches a pay-per-view should have. You know what I mean? Like, everyone was like, 6 is good. 7 is fine. You don't need, honestly, if you put 7 on, we will not ask for one more ever. 7 is good. And 7 would have allowed, you know, the world fucking title for Gunther and Sammy to have a great match, you know, but they didn't, they decided not to do it.
The only people that I've seen, other than, like you said, like super, super, super defending it, are people that are comparing it to 15 match, 20 match cards. Like, I prefer 5 to 15 to 20, but none of them are saying I prefer 5 to 6 or 7. And like, if this had the triple threat ladder match that we saw on SmackDown and this match on the PLE,
that
would have been like aces. I do appreciate that I feel like they're starting to look at weekends of like, let's not leave SmackDown and Raw completely bare. Like, what do we do to create a flow in and out?
Oh, my God. I don't know. TV programs. Whoever thought of doing that? Literally every wrestling company ever. Like,
when you talk about proving a point, like, maybe Sammy and Gunther were thinking that way. I definitely feel like the mid-card on SmackDown was out to prove something on Friday.
Yeah, like, yes, that's true. They were,
Like, if they put the
tag titles, like, figure out a way to, like, why, like, if you do something like the Gunther and Sammy match on the pay per view where it fucking should be, you can force the tag titles to be defended on Raw occasionally. You can run an actual storyline like they actually ran one. Like, a perfect example of this, I mean, I hated the fucking finish, but they actually ran the story entirely and closed within episodes of Raw. Sheamus and Pete Dunne is a TV program. You run the feud entirely on TV of a big blow off. That could have been the main event. If you would actually, because there's things that you do to set up the pay-per-views and things that you do to keep people watching the TV program. And sometimes they move both ways. Also, 5 matches is too few. It's not if you insist on making the matches 35 minutes long with 20 minutes of entrances and a bunch of fucking
in between them. Let's keep that around. Because that jingle is amazing. But as I was saying that, it's like if you put Gunther and Sammy and the tag match on there to get to 7, that still doesn't include your U.S. or your Intercontinental title.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You could still have 2 singles titles anchoring both shows and your women's tag titles not being defended. So you still have plenty of goals for your SmackDown and Raw.
There's no reason why you couldn't have had L.A. Knight and Carmelo Hayes have a U.S. title match that is ruined by Andrade, because Andrade still sore at Carmelo Hayes.
Correct.
And then that leads to the triple threat. You know what I mean? Like, each guy got a title match, and Andrade was pissed that, you know, he lost the first one and got talked trash to by Carmelo, so he ruins Carmelo's. So Carmelo actually
stayed out of Andrade's, but because he said something on Andrade, there's actually a storyline you can for everyone. Like, well, what are you going to do on SmackDown? Any of these fucking other stories?
Yeah.
Of all these people who are not doing fucking anything, do something with them. Like, there's like the AEW women's division is tells you exactly what you can do with really talented women who are not on a pay-per-view schedule.
Yeah.
Like, Deonna and Thunder Rosa had an amazing program that had all these amazing TV matches. Willow and Stat did a bunch of stuff on regular TV. Like, you can do really cool TV programs for the women that isn't five ladies together for no reason whatsoever against three women and two women just to hang out, I guess, for 6 minutes with 3 minutes of commercials. Do something.
Yeah, that was bad. That was a low point for me, was the women's stuff. Because it felt so aimless. But it ended strong. That was the only really good thing on the show, I feel like.
Yes, it was.
From front to back. The Donnybrook match until the dumb ending was very fun.
Right. Yeah, I thought that they didn't really do much of anything with the rest of the show at all. But I don't know. Then my stupid son had to come out there, make it all about himself. Listen, I mean, listen, I'm on Kevin Owens' side, frankly. Frankly, I'm on Kevin Owens' side because, listen, man, you were the one I told my son while he was alive. He never listened to me. But when I was alive, I told him, you never ever force people to have title matches with you if you are their friend. Like, here, have a title match with me. No, I would not like that title match. No, I am insisting. I insist that you have this title match with me. Of course, you know how many times that, like, with so stupid, I would have insisted Ole Anderson have a title match with me, and then eventually he turned on me because that is basically in the nature of the Andersons. So I don't know if Cody's got to bring around on with his Glock. Talk a little sense into him, but I have a feeling Arn would be on Kevin Owens' side as well.
It's hard not to be on Kevin Owens' side, but I mean, you're Cody's father and you're rooting against him.
I hope Gunther kicks his ass in Saudi Arabia.
Oh my goodness! Did you see what Dwayne The Rock Johnson had to say?
Dwayne and I, listen. I saw his live on the gram, and then I went and
are
I
you
found
on the
his
gram a lot in Henson, no, listen, in wrestler heaven.
I mean, listen, everybody's on the gram. So I decided that I might repost it to my stories, but then I went and I talked it to Rock's father, Rocky Johnson. And I said, do you see what your son said about me? He's got good taste, your son. You raised him right, is what I said to Rocky Johnson.
For those who might not have seen it, The Rock had seen back when you were alive, there was a picture of you on the side of one of the buses.
Yes,
that's true. And he,
which is odd because I have not toured with the company in many a year.
It has been
Seems like they might want to update the side of their trucks. Because it has been a long time since I have toured with the company.
I think it has to do with your son. But Dwayne had said, like, I'm not a fan of your son, but I am a fan of yours. And I just thought that was, it was very nice of The Rock to give you your due.
Yes.
But it seems like everybody has issues with your son, even you. So
with the way that man gets blown up after throwing a few slaps, honestly, if he tries to wrestle again, he might come back up here and see me permanently.
Yikes.
You know what I mean? His heart might just stop.
We don't want that for him. He's a young one. But do you have access to the Sour Shats, Dusty? Because someone's
no, of course I don't. That's ridiculous. So I'm going to go back to the Great Beyond, and then Alex will come back and read some Sour Chats. Why would you think I would have access to the Sour Chats?
Well, because you're in heaven. It's all knowing. Yeah. I don't know how things go.
That's preposterous. So I'm going to go back to the Great Beyond now.
Wait, before you go.
Yes.
Do you have your Halloween costume planned?
Yes, I'm going to go as Ric Flair.
You're gonna go as Ric Flair? Interesting yes. choice. Yes. I don't know if I would do that because not a lot of people are big fan of his anymore. Down here.
But that's the thing. I'm just gonna be a little weasel in a robe. That's what I'm gonna do in a big frat wig with a shock of crazy platinum blonde hair. That's what I'm gonna dress up as a weasel in a robe with a wig.
I love it. I love that for you. I love that yes. for all of us, honestly. Yes. So.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I gotta go back to the Great Beyond.
Okay, you have fun.
Bye.
Bye.
What happened?
That was so weird.
Oh, a sour chat. MD Cyclo sent in something at 4:18 p.m. today. If you're reading this, the worst has happened. Goldberg has, in fact, cost Gunther the world title, and the sky may as well be falling. I can't believe Xavier versus Kofi for the first time will be for the Intercontinental title, is what I would say if he won tonight.
I did get a text from my cousin, who I think is still watching. And when you were saying you were like Nostradamus, he was very concerned and he didn't want this to happen for you because he said, I don't want him to see the end again. That sounds scary.
It is.
So my cousin's looking out for you.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
It's a good egg, that Michael.
Meet Norma says, shout out to the SGS Discord for making Raw bearable. It's mainly a meat beverage silliness chat where we mostly try to pop ourselves.
Also, that's all you have to do in life.
Also, a 300-pound man was running with the ball in the foosball game, so I got to see some meat tonight. That's nice.
That's all you want in life.
And Meat Normus also says, I don't see color. I only see meat. Therefore, Pulowski is hosting solo. A 300-pound lineman returned a fumble in the sports ball game, so I got to see some meat on the Meatatron 5000. Hashtag raw is vegan.
That's hilarious. If anybody has the link for the SGS Discord, if they could, Luis, if you're still kicking around, you're very nice to us for that one. So MX Kamikami. We have just a Sour Graps one that is free, that is not a part of Select, because we did it before that, because
boom,
we're not paywall rats. I mean, we are, because we're here right now, but you know what I mean.
Different links! Bang only link. One of them, I guess.
Boom.
Yeah. There you go. Meat, because I forgot I sent the first one.
You surprised yourself. That's even better.
Yeah, that's good. They were sent 30 minutes apart. So
that's perfect.
Kate, I watched a wrestler movie to review for the show, but I can't review it.
See No Evil 1?
No. That I'm definitely going to review. The reason I can't review it is because it's good.
We can't do that.
Yeah, the movie is good, but the performance is by the wrestler is great. And I don't know what to say about it. Like, other than
whose performance?
The movie is called A Knock at the Cabin, starring Dave Bautista.
Bautista's good, man. He's really good.
He's really good. Like, if you had told me in 2005 that, like, this guy's going to be the best...
Wrestler-turned-actor?
Best wrestler-actor ever, maybe? Like, there's no chance. That there's no chance, but... Like
Luis, yeah, backing you up, saying that movie is so fucking good.
Yeah, like there's it's a 7.5 out of 10. It's not great, but it's like they're solid. As Shyamalama Ding Dong movies go, like it's pretty damn good. Like that man has been riding a not the greatest streak. But
when did this come out?
Last year.
Oh, okay. Last year? So this is a recent one.
Yeah, it's
dude. Batista's got chops.
But Batista also said in an interview for this new movie, which apparently is one I can review whenever it comes out on screen. It was apparently very, very bad, but it was interviewed for it and says that he's at his lowest weight he's ever been for
he looks forever. It. Yeah.
But he was at the biggest he's ever been for making this movie. And like his whole face is all bloated and stuff. So everything else about him seems kind of like big wrestler guy, but like his face is just, there's way too much stuff inside the face. It's
too much face. He just has too much face.
It's just giant face. He was huge in this, but he's unnervingly good. Like you watch him and go like that guy's a real actor. Like not because I love him in the Guardians of the Galaxy movies, but he's playing it's a bit. Most of the stuff he does is a bit.
Sure.
The thing where like he says, I can move so slow you will think I'm invisible is really, really funny, but it's not really acting. This shit, it was. Yeah.
That's really cool. Good for him. That's something that he's talked about in interviews that he's worked at. Like he respects acting enough to like work at the craft rather than be like, I got away with it on television during a shitty time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I can ride that coattail. So good for him.
Mm-hmm. So now I have to watch something else for whenever I review something just by talking to you about it. Cause it's too scary.
I'm sorry that it was good, but also I'm glad it was good.
Right.
I'm glad you didn't waste your time.
It's weird to say that like I wasted an hour and 40 minutes of my life watching a good movie because because watching a bad movie is what I do for work. And watching a good movie is what I do for fun, which I don't have a lot of free time. I did. Actually, I watched Army of the Dead a few years ago and reviewed it for this channel. For Sour Graps. There's one episode is like, you should review movies and not just wrestling. First ever movie review, long before Get the Flick Out of Here.
Before I was even in Fightful.
Yes. Existence. Long before any of that was Army of the Dead. Starring, it was so bad I cannot watch it again to re-review it.
Who was in it? Was that a Batista one too?
That was Batista.
Okay.
It wasn't his fault. God, it was terrible.
That seems to be a theme with some of his earlier work.
And this is from, I don't know, 2020? So it wasn't like that old. Gosh. But this movie is just so many fucking plot holes and bad acting. And yeah, anyway. All right. Basically this is that I'm going to watch a scary movie and tell Kate about it in the next week. So just be on the lookout for that. Tomorrow night, we are doing a wonderful hybrid show.
Yes.
On the main YouTube channel, I will watch all of NXT and the second hour of AEW. Alexis Cardoza will watch all of AEW. And Kate will watch 1 hour of NXT and 2 hours of AEW. So there you go. And we'll try and figure out a way to like hybridize that because everything is, because it starts.
Wonky.
Yeah. AEW starts an hour after NXT does. So if indeed they are going to take the title off of Obafemi and put it on to, Tony D'Angelo, I need to cry while jumping for joy at the same time in private.
Allie is gonna watch Dancing with the Stars, so her and Emily can come on and review Dancing with the Stars while we're reviewing all the wrestling. Let's just make that's it good. More complicated.
Yeah. So that's tomorrow. And then yeah. Wrestle Dream was on Saturday. So you get a lot of us.
Yes, you do.
So there you go. Until then, Goldberg didn't
cost Gunther the title, so not everything sucks, but also everything sucks.
But only for 2 hours.
Which kind of makes it suck, I don't know, more. It should suck less, but like...
It's very weird we're done at 10 of midnight my time.
It's so weird. Like, 90 minutes?
It's starting this early? Bizarre.
I don't even... Everything sucks.